Let's explore free will for a moment. Free will. Now, we need to do more Q&A because y'all got some big ones. Well, let's ask the question, what is the will? What is the will? The will has been argued in philosophical circles and scientific circles and religious circles, which can also be scientific in philosophy. Theological circles, the will is the desire or the volition of an individual. So I have a will, and that will is I have things that I want to do and things that I want to accomplish and things that I like, and things that I don't like. So I have a will that basically sets in motion and sets in pattern the way I operate and rule my life. Okay? When you add free to that, what most people think is, I will use the lingo, that man has been given a libertarian freedom of the will, that they have the liberty to choose and do anything they want to do and to make decisions in any aspect of life. Now, Scripture doesn't teach that. See, the prophets, the Old Testament, King Cyrus was made by God to call for a census so that God could put people together. The devil was made by God to consider Job and sent to destroy his life. Just Jesus, Caiaphas, the disciples, Judas, Iscariot. Is it me? He'd already gotten paid. And he changed his mind. Worldly sorrow. There is no freedom of the will. Let's explain it this way, as the Old Testament teaches. Can a leopard change his spots? No. Can he desire it? Sure. He can desire it, but he can't. Can an Ethiopian change his skin? No, not at all. So there's some things that are about our human condition that we cannot, no matter what we desire, that's called make-believe, when we want something that we cannot do. It's not free will, it's make-believe. It's fantasy land. And that's why we have all the superheroes and all of the witches and wardrobes and all the other different things that we have and all the potters and everything else, Star Wars, it's all just make-believe fantasy, because man wants to be able to do these things, but he can't. And so he just writes stories about them. And that's really what free will, when it comes to salvation, is. It's a fairy tale. It's a fairy tale about a man who has all the ability to do anything he wants to do. And he comes across this wisdom about this God who provided an opportunity for him to be saved from judgment. And he goes, let me ponder. I think I'll choose this. This makes sense. The Bible teaches that many choose that way, but that they're not converted. Scripture shows that no man can choose to believe in God, that it must be a gift. The Scripture says that sinfulness of the human condition has completely and fully corrupted the choices of man, the will of man. Total depravity is the historical. Radical corruption is the more contemporary. But it is utter depravity. That means that even in our freedom, or even in our will, I'm going to use the word free again, even in our will, if we want to say we want to be good people, we go out and do good things, what does the Scripture say about those choices? What are they before God? Filthy rags. Filthy rags. This goes back to the very first thing that I talked about when it comes to repentance. Unless a man, woman, child, I say man, I mean a human. Unless a man is able to change his mind to think that his salvation or her salvation is only in the hand of God, there's no hope for them. And no one can do that except they're converted. How? By the teaching of Scripture. By the hearing of Scripture. By the teaching of the gospel of Christ. And that goes directly into the idea of sanctification. People think they have the freedom and the will to be holy. I'm just going to be holy now. We'll be holy. I'm going to walk around holy. Friends, when we know people who think they're walking around holy, they're the most unholy people that exists. When we look at ourselves and say, "Wow, look how I'm living for Jesus," we've lost our minds. And it is a very dangerous thing. And what happens is people come to the place where just in this sanctification idea or this maturity idea and this free will idea, all of this really boils together. It boils together with the questions that I mentioned on Sunday, where Eddie and I are going to sort of extrapolate in the weeks and months to come. And it comes down to what people believe about how God saves His people. How has God saved His people? See, that's the gospel, isn't it? That God has saved His people through Jesus Christ alone, and that God is the author of salvation. By grace you have been saved through faith. And this faith is not of your own doing, but is a gift from God, so that no man can boast. So how is it that it's free will if it's a gift? And here's how they answer that. Well, you gotta accept it. Accept what? A changed heart? Guess what? You can't accept the fact that you have a changed heart and mind and faith until it's been given to you. And you observe it and you recognize it and you see it and you believe. So there's no freedom there. So when it comes to free will, as I said, we could talk for hours and hours and hours. The Scripture denies that very thing. But why is it so necessary for people to hold on to this idea? People believe that God is a maniacal monster if He doesn't give man freedom. But God Himself has revealed to us that man's volition, that man's will is corrupted by a sinful nature. So here's the answer that most people give. Well, God gives a measure of grace to all people. When they hear the Bible, the Holy Spirit sprinkles some grace dust. And then they have just a fleeting moment where they could choose God. But God wants it to be a choice. That's what they say. Because God is most glorified in the choosing, in the freedom of His people. Really? That's not what we see in Israel. Is Israel not the temporary shadow of the reality of the redemption of the church? And where did Israel ever walk with God? Never! They never did. They were constantly put in slavery. They were constantly brought out of slavery. But God would say, for my sake and for the sake of my name, I'm going to bring you into your own land. And it's only going to be for a little while. Because you're going to fail, you're going to fail, you're going to fail. And they desired it just like in Jesus' day. They desired their own land, their own temple, their own government, everything. They wanted it all back the way that they thought it was. But it was all a shadow. If it weren't for God's sovereign election, if it wasn't for God particularly paying for the sins of His people, no one would be saved. If God did not snatch us out of the domain of darkness, we'd still be blind running, thinking we were wise, and really we were fools.